Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter.
Purdue spent its bye week looking for answers for its slow first half start. Now as it begins the second half of the season, the Boilermakers see daunting challenges ahead with Nebraska, Michigan State, and Ohio State over the next 4 weeks. Hi, I'm Kyle Charters. Brian Newbert here too. We'll project ahead looking at expectations for Danny Etling, where Rob Henry fits in, and more on Golden Black Radio. All right, Brian, first of all, welcome. Subbing in here at the very last minute for a car-troubled Stacey Clarity, who was on her way into the office before her car that's less than a year old decided it didn't want to come to work on its Monday morning. Anyway, let's hit our hot five, Brian. Number one, off the bye, what do you think here? What will it take for Purdue sort of to be more competitive here over the next several weeks with some pretty good competition coming up?
Well, I think, first of all, Purdue's got to be able to stop people. I mean, you know, obviously through the early portion of the season here, Purdue's sitting at 1-4, I think, where you want to see the most improvement. Obviously, you want to see improvement all across the board, but I think first and foremost, you want to see it on defense. Purdue's going to be facing some pretty good offenses here the next couple weeks, starting Saturday with a very, very productive, very efficient and balanced Nebraska offense. So I think first and foremost, you want to be able to stop some people here.
And that was a Nebraska offense with a backup quarterback in there as well, but still were able to put up plenty of points. Topic number two for today, Danny Etling. He's just going to come in and fix everything, right?
Not sure that's entirely
what's going to happen. But, I mean, what are reasonable expectations? I mean, he can't be expected to come in. I know some people maybe out there want him to be able to, but it's just not simply possible for one guy, a true freshman especially, to come in and solve all the problems.
Right. Anytime you put a young player back there, especially a true freshman, you're just going to have to live with some mistakes. Obviously, he has no experience. I should say he's got less than three quarters of a game worth of experience now.
You are
going to have to accept some mistakes. You're going to have to let him play through some mistakes. You obviously saw this in basketball last year. I don't want to draw that kind of comparison, but Purdue played Ronnie Johnson at point guard all year. Didn't have very many options. You had to live with his mistakes, and obviously there were some ups and there were some downs. You just hope that there are more ups than downs.
Yeah, I kept saying that, you know, you're going to welcome in some new problems when you put in one of those freshman quarterbacks, and I know some people jumped me for that because Rob Henry did start to turn the ball over, which is by the way, what got him taken out of the game. But, you know, I think you're going to have some turnover issues with Etling perhaps. Maybe he's going to be able to move the ball a little bit more too. So you might get some more scoring opportunities. You might get some more turnovers too, and we'll just have to see how that plays out. Topic number three, B.J. Kanoff and Jordan Woods had their penalties handed down during the week last week. Of course, both were arrested on suspicion of theft early in the week. B.J. Kanoff will get a couple of games suspension and some other penalties, including losing his tickets and I think doing some conditioning work, which we saw last week, which is never fun. Jordan Woods, a little bit more strict on the penalty. He is indefinitely suspended. I know there are some reasons for that Daryl Hazel didn't go into a lot of last week, but just, I think, phrased it sort of the totality of the situation. What do you think of those suspensions? Fair?
Yeah. I thought it was fair. I thought two games is pretty stiff for an apparent first offense. Can't really speak to Jordan Woods. Obviously, we don't know what the background is there. Obviously, there is more to it than this one incident based on the totality comment Daryl Hazel made. So it's really hard to comment on that one. B.J. Kanoff, obviously, this is the first thing we know of, at least. So I think two games is pretty stiff for in that sort of circumstance.
You know what I like? I like that B.J. Kanoff came out there and spoke to the media, although it was, you know, somewhat brief, 35 seconds or whatever it was. He didn't take any questions. In years past, I think, Brian, that player would have been shielded from the media for, say, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, perhaps.
Yes.
Who knows? But, you know, I like that. I think that was sort of part of his punishment. I mean, send him out there. Make him talk to the media and say what he wants to say. And to BJ's credit, he didn't have any notes prepared. It didn't look like he spoke, from the head or from the heart, if you want to say it that way. I don't know, but he seemed pretty sincere in what he had to say.
He seemed to mean it, and there have been some public apologies over the years where you could just tell it was like, I'm just here to say this, I don't really mean it. But I thought with Knopf the other day, I thought it really came from the heart, so to speak.
Yeah. Topic number four, defensive changes. It seems pretty apparent that Purdue needs some here. I mean, we all look at the quarterback situation and that sort of gets the highlight, but geez, the defense has been pretty rough over the last few weeks, really, it seems like. And, to me, it's up the middle a little bit where Purdue is having just all sorts of crazy problems. They can't stop anybody from running between the tackles. I'm not sure what you do to try and help out the middle of the defense, but it seems like that the Boilers have to do something to try to help out that defense a little bit.
Yeah, you obviously can't pick up new personnel during a bye week, but what you can do is kind of explore all options. I'm sure Purdue has done that with the spot it's in right now. It has to do anything it can to sort of change the result. And I'm sure during the past 2 weeks, all options have been on the table in that sense.
Yeah. And we talked about it before the season too, about the lack of pass rush, especially from defensive end position. Purdue just hasn't had any, and it's crazy to talk about too, that not being able to have pass rush from your defensive ends at a place where at Purdue they've had so many good ends here over the last 15 years or whatever. I'm not sure what you do to try and generate that unless you're just going to bring more pressure from your linebackers or more blitzing, and I'm not sure if Purdue wants to do that. So you've got to get some more pressure from the ends, and we'll see if Purdue's able to do that. Let's hit topic number five. Daryl Hazel in his player's manual talks about A players getting A's. And he did talk about this a little bit earlier in the week, that Purdue's A players are not getting A's right now. And if you're in a situation where you might not have as many A players as you want to have, those few that you do have, you need them playing at the top of their game. And that hasn't happened for Purdue here over the last several weeks.
Yeah, obviously you want everybody playing at a pretty high level. You have to ask some guys at this point to play over their heads. So
yeah.
I'm not sure Purdue really has – not really sure right now Purdue has very many guys playing at a higher level than we would have projected them at. I'm not sure there have been very many positive surprises in that sense,
yeah.
if that makes any sense at all.
No, I was going to say I agree with you. I think that that's a good way to put it. Purdue hasn't had positive surprises. There's been, you can't look at things from the defensive point of view and say, hey, this guy, really came out of nowhere to be a very good player. You've seen glimpses maybe of that. I thought Taylor Richards was very good against Notre Dame and maybe has been pretty good all season, but not up to that level that he played at against the Fighting Irish. So that's, one example perhaps. Joe Gilliam is another one where, you've seen flashes, and I point again to that Irish game where you feel like, you really played well, but then he they've been sort of weak up the middle, like I said earlier. So I just don't know. There just hasn't been that many guys step up and really play beyond what you thought they would play coming into the season. Okay, let's take a break. We'll be back in just a moment to hit the next five. We'll project ahead a little bit with this Purdue team and what we expect over the next few weeks. We'll take a break. You're listening to Golden Black Radio.
Boiler up for another exciting season of Purdue football. You want to look your best, and Follett's has the best selection of Purdue clothing, including this year's Nike Coaches Sideline Series. Wear what the coaches wear from Follett's Purdue West and the Black and Gold Mine, still open on Northwestern Avenue. Both locations are open extended hours on game days. You can always shop online at FollettsPurdue.com. Purdue football, reshape, rebuild, return. One brick higher.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charters.
All right, Brian, let's hit our next five here. What do you think Purdue does in the Knopf position? I think Daryl Hazel said earlier in the week that Anthrop will play there. Maybe Dan Monteroso could get some playing time in that spot as well. I mean, it's a pretty big hole to fill. Purdue used Knopf in a variety of ways, running and receiving, obviously. Can they make up for that in the next couple of weeks?
I guess we'll find out. Purdue has a bunch of guys, though, that are kind of cut from the same mold as Knopf. Danny Anthrop being one in particular, somebody who can operate out of the slot, carry the ball when need be. Raheem Mostert being another one, although he's obviously moved to running back. I think what will be more interesting is just where the ball goes now that Danny Etling's playing quarterback. You know,
yeah.
The early portion of the season, you saw so many short throws to running backs in particular. Obviously, I think they're always going to throw the ball to the tight end. But one thing I think you saw from Purdue's offense against Northern Illinois was a legitimate vertical game. I thought they were able to throw the ball down the field credibly. And they certainly weren't able to do that the first couple games. Now, I don't know if that was just the matchup with Northern Illinois. Obviously, Rob Henry had hit some vertical balls before Danny Etling came in, too. So I don't know if that was just Northern Illinois, or I don't know if that game in particular was a turning point for the offense in the sense that, you know, they're starting to figure out how to throw the ball up the field a little bit, which obviously needs to be done because their offense has been so hamstrung early in the season because they haven't been able to do that and because they haven't been able to run the ball very effectively.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much a vertical passing game makes everything else look better, if that's possible, if they keep being able to throw the ball down the field, because it can make the offensive line play better if the defensive line knows it has to, if the line knows it has to be wary of something going deep on them, it can make the running backs look better because there's not eight guys playing in the box. So that'll be an interesting development. Let's talk a little bit about Monteroso. He's been out the first half of the season with the collarbone injury. Do you think he should play? I mean, in my opinion, it's questionable whether he should go out there if he's only going to play limited in the second half of the season. I mean, if he's going to start and play 40 snaps a game, maybe you'll get him out there. But, you know, to have him out there for 15 snaps a game, I just don't know if it's worth burning the red shirt.
I think it probably depends on how the coaching staff views him. If they think he is legitimately a guy who can come in and help them win games, you know, fine. But if it is going to be a situation where he only plays a handful of snaps every game, then you have to balance whether or not it is actually worth it. One thing when you have to make these calls, too, is a guy can play now and be just, you know, an average contributor, but he can be much better off next season for having played. I think Purdue is making a lot of decisions right now on red shirts, and that has to be part of the decision, is where is this guy going to be a year from now as opposed to right now also, because Purdue is going to need a lot of these guys redshirting or maybe not redshirting right now to be major contributors next season too. So it could be part of the decision-making process here too to get some of these guys a little bit of experience, knowing some of these guys might be starters or at least major contributors next year.
Yeah, there's the three defensive guys too, or Plogle, Howard, and Panfil, who could play. It's an option, I guess. I mean, to me, it's a little bit of a question whether you put those guys in for half seasons. I suppose, though, if you feel like they're going to make you better and whether the experience will help them, then that's something that you have to weigh as a coach. That's why he's paid the big bucks. We'll see what decision they make there, whether it's one, all three, or none of those guys. You know, Rob Henry moved to safety, Brian, last week. He has gotten some reps in teamwork, although, you know, not a whole lot. I think we have differing opinions on how much of an impact he can make there. What do you think? Can he quickly assimilate to being a safety and make an impact for Purdue still?
Obviously, he has to practice well at the position. He has to learn very quickly. I think he does have a background, though, in being able to learn things quickly. You remember the bye week a couple weeks ago when he was a quarterback. Purdue completely revamped its offense during the bye week. He came in with that new offense, won a pretty big game at Northwestern. He has dabbled before in his career on special teams under Danny Hope. I think his first spring coming out of his redshirt year, he has played at least a couple games as a wide receiver. He did play a couple of different roles last season for Purdue's offense. So I think he's proven himself to be a relatively flexible guy. I think he's pretty football smart, personally. He is playing a position where Purdue is playing young guys who remain a little bit unproven, at least. I think there's going to be an opportunity there. I certainly wouldn't count on him for anything. There is precedent at Purdue. I don't know if you can compare these situations, but you remember way back when Ray Williams moved mid-season from wide receiver to cornerback and turned out to be a pretty good player. I don't think you can expect anything from Rob Henry, but it wouldn't surprise me personally at all if he is in a position where he can at least contribute at some point here in the next couple weeks.
All right, so the early line on Nebraska is a 14.5-point favorite. What do you think? Does that sound pretty accurate? I mean, there's been nothing Purdue has done here recently to show that they can, you know, get an upset of Nebraska. So that line doesn't surprise me all that much.
Yeah, especially when you look at Nebraska's offense, how good it has been. I don't think people have any idea really what to expect from Purdue's offense, nor should they. You know, Purdue hasn't shown the ability to run the ball. They have an unproven quarterback right now. So when you look at a Nebraska team that just beat Illinois by 3 touchdowns relative to a Purdue team that's 1-4 and has gotten blown out a couple times here, I think it's a pretty reasonable line to expect Nebraska to win pretty handily, to expect them to. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but I can see that's why that might be the expectation.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with your five. Be sure to tweet us your questions at goldenblack.com. Also, we'll talk a little bit of recruiting with Brian here in just a moment. You're listening to Golden Black Radio.
We all want our Boilermakers to work hard, know their job, and succeed. It's the same with real estate. Hi, I'm RE/MAX Lafayette Group Realtor Bobby Charters. I, too, promise to work hard, know the job, and succeed. Whether I'm helping you sell your home in the fastest time at the best price, or I'm helping you find the perfect home for you and your family, let me help. I'm Bobby Charters. Reach me at 765-426-9545 or at bobbycharters@gmail.com. That's Bobby with an I.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
All right, Brian, we got a couple of tweets to get to, but first let's talk a little bit about recruiting. The Denzel Ward news came out last night that he won't be able to play in the second half for Simeon, his high school, in his senior year. What can you tell us about what happened to take him off the field?
Yeah, he believes that some people who weren't terribly happy about the fact Chicago Simeon has gotten a bunch of players in as transfers called into the Illinois High School Athletic Association. They looked into it, and they must have agreed. So he and a bunch of his classmates are out for the rest of the season after being ruled ineligible.
Well, that does that affect anything from a recruiting point of view, do you think?
No. I think everybody who's offered him and is going to recruit him has already done so. I mean, I suppose there's the possibility there's some school there who are still deciding whether or not they were going to seriously try to pry him away from Purdue. Could be their mind could be changed by the fact that they don't have the rest of the season worth of film to watch, but I really doubt it. I think the schools that also want him, whether it be UCLA, Oklahoma, Florida, whoever it may be, I think they've already made their decision on him. So I really don't think it'll impact anything.
Boiler Gang or Die asks us via Twitter, any word on Drew Tranquil? Anything new there? I would imagine not. He's taken his couple visits, and now everybody just sort of awaits word, right?
You just answered the question. Yep, it's just a matter of time now. Whenever he's ready, I'm sure he will decide.
Yeah. Before we wrap up the show here, just anything you can tell us. I know it's early in the week, and you might not want to divulge everything or might want to shore some things up, but it should be a pretty big visit weekend, I would think. Anything you can let us know about, too, from a football or basketball point of view, might be coming in this weekend?
I'm actually not aware of anybody right now. I would suspect Purdue would probably have some official visits in, it being a relatively prominent weekend, but I know this staff isn't a huge fan of bringing in-season visits. They haven't really made that an emphasis right now, so I don't know if there's going to be anybody or not. I'm sure there'll be a number of unofficials, as there have been for a lot of the other games so far this season in Ross-Ade.
Yeah. All right, Brian. Hey, thanks a lot for subbing in there at the last minute. And just a reminder, too, to everybody that if they want to listen to more on recruiting, you still can do so. Back to our Friday recruiting show. So give that a listen if you'd like, an hour plus with interviews of Matt Painter, David Blau, Vince Edwards, Eric Bossy, Josh Himhold, and some analysis and talk with me and Brian about both hoops and football recruiting. So pretty good listen if you want to do that sometime when you've got some free time. So thank you, Brian. This has been our show for today. Special thanks to our sponsors as well, Follett's in the Purdue West Shopping Center and at the Black and Gold Mine on Northwestern Avenue across from Mackey Arena, and RE/MAX Lafayette Group Realtor Bobby Charters. Reach Bobby at 765-426-9545. We'll be back again on Friday for our pregame show as Purdue takes on Nebraska. That show will be at 11 o'clock on Friday. For Brian Newbert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.